Wine and Cheese presents the Uncorked Podcast.
Rita Obi is a public health professional, social entrepreneur, international career strategist, and the founder of Corporate Black Girl 101 LLC, an international professional development digital platform that helps Black women in the United States and West Africa land dream jobs and negotiate higher salaries. In this episode, we'll hear all about Rita's background to becoming a corporate guru, as well as her tips for securing your dream job. And then stay tuned for part two, when she'll talk about securing the bag. Let's get this podcast started.
Okay.
How did you become this corporate guru that you are today?
When I graduated from undergrad, there was a period, you know, you're looking for a job, times are hard. And I got my first corporate job. And it was just like, wow, amazing, right? Got a corporate card. And they let me go within 2 months, okay? I was the only Black woman on the team. I remember that was a culture shock to me because prior to that, I spent 8 years working in a hospital in the Bronx. So it was quite diverse. Mm-hmm. So being the only Black woman there was like, whew. But now when I look back, they were really ignorant. And there was a lot of bullying going on. But I was fearful at the time because I didn't know about all these policies and rules. And after using me for a symposium, a conference, they sat me down. They said, oh, hey, Rita, I'd like to have a talk with you. We just don't think you're a good fit. If I would have known what I know now, I'm pretty sure the poker face wasn't on back then. I didn't even know how to work it. But I'm pretty sure every single thing that I felt was shown on my face. They make jokes about me being from the South Bronx. Like, oh, hope you're not carrying a razor blade, like all kinds of, yeah. just exactly. And 23, first corporate job, it was terrible. And when they let me go, I was already damn near depressed while working there. But I was like, okay, this is terrible because I was helping my mom out, you know. My mom, she was sick at the time. I was living on my own. I had a one-bedroom apartment, and I'm trying to help my mom with her utility bills too and other bills. And still pay for my stuff. And at that time, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't have a savings. I didn't know about that stuff, you know? And so 9 months of that, and this is where I discovered unemployment, right? So, you know, when I was fired, I went to the senior VP of human resources and told her, this is uncalled for. I don't understand what's going on here. And I knew that she knew I was right. So the fact that she knew I was right, she said, you know what? I'm going to make sure you get unemployment. They fired me, so I shouldn't have been getting unemployment. Mm. But because she knew they were in the wrong, she said, okay, sure. So I had unemployment and everything. But I'm not going to lie, you know, those 9 months, I was pretending like I was good. I was, you know, even going to after work spots, mind you, I was unemployed. Mm-hmm. And I decided to kind of turn that, you know, that sadness into motivation to, you know, make me bigger and better, and decided to kind of use this opportunity as a time to sharpen my professional development, right? So I was like, I'm not going to stay here and bask in misery. So I was prayerful and everything. And honestly, I just became really strategic. Like a light bulb hit me. And I said, this resume has to speak clinical research because that's what my expertise was in at the time. But I felt like I was lowballing myself and my resume wasn't spitting that. So I just started developing the skills to really doing a lot of research. And before you knew it, I landed 8 interviews in 9 months. And I got 3 callbacks.
That's impressive.
And it's interesting though, because the job that hired me was one of the jobs that initially rejected me. This is why you don't lose touch with people. So within that 8 month span, and it was, yeah, because so I got other offers, right, from others, but then I was like, but this was the job I really wanted. So it all worked out for me. And so honestly, after that time, a lot of my friends, people would just say, hey, can you look at my resume? Can you? And I'm like, okay, I got you. Fast forward, 2017 hits. I feel this spiritual shift coming. There's a shift in my heart that's telling me, you got to go to D.C. I'm like, no, I'm going to be a doctor. Something has to happen. Nope, you got to go to D.C. Honestly, this is scary when they say God talks to you. I always hear that, but this was a whole nother level. And I was freaking out and I was crying. Mm-hmm. So I quit my job after they gave me a promotion. And then I my lease was up, so it was perfect. And I put all my stuff into storage. And I moved into my aunt's house. And I was sleeping on a twin size bed for, I think, the next 6 months. But I knew I had to develop this platform. Let me just tell y'all, when I was looking for a job in D.C., these people came to me in New York City. I didn't have to even go. This is a perfect example. When you just walk in your purpose and walk by faith, everything will fall into place. It was really scary because there's no cushion. But yeah, you really like, you know what, God, you got me, you got me, you got me. And you have to internalize it, right? And I did that. They came. They hired me on the spot. This was no battle, y'all. This was no battle. Before you knew it, I got in the car and drove my behind to the DMV. And within a few months of being here, I just started meeting all kinds of women. People thought I was living here already. And I think it's because of this personality, this energy that I was giving off. And I just started holding workshops, you know? And I think the first 3 months I was in DC, I created my business plan. It took me 3 months. I created both of my websites on my own because I said I'm not paying nobody. and just make sure my packaging looked legit. I contacted a few people who never responded to me, but right now they're in my DMs. See how God works, y'all. Yes. And it was just like, but for me, this wasn't for to be praised. This was because I can identify with this platform. You know, which is what Corporate Black Girl 101, right? It's for Black women. You know, I help women of color too. I help Hispanic women. I've helped Indian women. I even help men. But I created this platform specifically for Black women because we encounter unique challenges that other women of color do not encounter. And I want to be specific. I think some people are scared to just say Black women and they say women of color. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing. Black woman is who I focus on. And I know because I know how uncomfortable I felt at that place, you know, in my work environment. And I learned from that experience. And I've constantly been that only Black woman in a boardroom, conference room, whatever. But I honestly am never intimidated because I know my worth. I know I'm not a victim. And so I was like, you know what? There's a community of women who are feeling this exact same way, who are encountering these exact same issues. Let me create a platform where, number one, I can make sure I help them get those dream jobs by pulling together my resources, my expertise, my years of experience. I can, number two, make sure they land those salaries that they rightfully deserve. A lot of us are scared to ask for more money, but we've been working our behinds off to get to where we are. And we have so much money in loans, so much school loans. I mean, something's got to give, right? And then just number three, really building this community where we can have, where transparency can be present and we can be openly honest and communicate our issues with one another because we can learn from one another because we're all going through similar things. A lot of Black women are, you know, keeping to themselves. No, let's open it up. We're making big moves right now. Let's teach one another. So that's why this platform was created. And as you can see, I don't teach professional development from a dry perspective. That standard way has got to go. We have flavor. We have sass. Okay. We are royal. We are regal. We are everything. So this platform had to be right and really ooze what Black Girl Magic is. So that's what this Corporate Black Girl 101 LLC is about.
Yes, Rita. Yes, girl. Yes. For those listening, if you haven't figured it out by now, this is exactly why we connected instantly when we met. Her energy is amazing, and we both want to help women.
Yes.
I appreciate you mentioning that Black women have unique challenges in the workplace. And absolutely. I want you to kind of shed some light on those. I know, of course, what they are. But for some listeners who may not be women or may not be Black women, I would love for you to just share some of those unique challenges.
So, number one, that whole idea of we have to work twice as hard, right, as the next person. The way I look at it is really all about perspective. When it comes to patience, I always say this. The Black people as a whole, to me, are the most patient people in this world. I swear, if a lot of us just tapped into that energy, we will go places and take over this world, regardless of the policies that have been put in place to suppress us, okay? Because we've been through so much for so many years and are still encountering so many issues, but we still manage to push through and excel and succeed. But for Black women, I see that patience issue, right? Things happen at work. People come at you left, right, and you still have to maintain your composure while others are just being upfront, raw, and honest and giving it to you like there's no tomorrow. I think that's one of the issues we encounter. But honestly, that's the reality that we have to deal with because they got that angry Black woman label slapped right on our forehead. And we don't want to give anyone the chance to say anything negative about us. But when it comes to performance, no, I'm not working twice as hard as the next person. I'm just going to get shit done. Mm-hmm. Because that's how we were built. So it's not a matter of, oh, we got to work twice as hard as the next person. No, we don't. You know why you got this position. You're qualified. You're probably overqualified. So you know what you need to do. Give it your all. Give it 100. The work will speak for itself. Being the only Black woman in the conference room can be quite intimidating, right? But I need a lot of Black women to just kind of look at things differently. Yes. Yes, you're stepping into a conference room. You're the only Black woman there. And we have this pressure. Also, like in college, it's the same thing. You feel like you're the one representing your whole community. And you know what? Carry that with pride. But that's not always the case. You're representing you. Okay? When you start thinking, I'm representing the whole community, you start to put a lot of pressure in yourself. Don't do it that way. You're a Black woman. And that is a lot, and that's something to be proud of. So you walk in there like that, but at the same time, you know that you're supposed to be in this conference room. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want us to focus on, our gifts, our skills, and our talents. Do not let the fact that you're the only Black woman at your place of work, you know, intimidate you, become a distraction. No.
There's a few things that you mentioned that I want to make sure we explore.
Okay.
From your background to how you show up as the only Black woman sometimes in a boardroom.
Right.
I hear two things. I hear you had a strong reliance on your faith.
Absolutely.
And you had a strong reliance in who you are, what you're capable of doing.
Right.
Knowing that you're qualified. And I think those two things are so important. We're going to talk about landing the job, and then we're going to talk about securing the bag.
Yes.
But before we even dive into, because you kind of talk about some things that I definitely want to bring back into the conversation, but I just want to make sure that everyone listening, when you are trying to make your mark professionally, it's got to start with trusting your intuition, your faith, tapping into whatever spiritual source you acknowledge.
Right.
And then also tapping into who you are and what you know to be true.
What you know to be true. Yes.
And showing up as your authentic self, not being apologetic for who you are.
Absolutely.
The one thing you also mentioned is that you do not have to represent your entire community.
You do not.
And I think I agree with you. I think there's a lot of pressure sometimes to act a certain way, to make sure we say or do or look a certain way because we are representing our community. And in one case, that's somewhat true.
Right.
But it's not our responsibility.
It's not.
You know?
And
the other thing is Black people, Black women are not a monolith. There is no way
right
to represent our entire community.
Right.
They're so multifaceted.
And if someone feels that way and says an ignorant remark towards you, ladies, feel free to educate them for a minute. It's okay to have educational moments, you know, where you just let these people know there are different types of Black women. We're all not named one name, and we all don't come from one place. And you get what I'm saying? Like, don't be impatient and don't be so quick to attack people, even though sometimes there's some things I want to say. But you know what? See, we're professionals. There you go. Be elegant and just educate them. Yeah. Educate them. That's it.
Yeah. Now, it's not your responsibility to educate them every time.
No, it's not.
I don't want you to take on that pressure either.
No.
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
It is totally okay to have teachable moments when you are talking to colleagues, supervisors.
And you genuinely know, you can tell that this wasn't ignorance and that they really are just in la-la land.
Exactly.
There's a difference. Right.
Thank you. Thank you for touching on that. You've worked with so many women.
Oh my God, yes.
At various stages in their career, from entry level to mid-level managers. What would you say are the trends that most women are facing in the workforce?
Number one is, I guess it's more, actually, no, this is not for the beginners. I've had some women who are, you know, it's crazy because you can say they're in their 30s and, you know, so you think that, you know, maybe they've been working somewhere for years, but they still aren't clear as to what their strengths are or what their skills are. They just happen to have a job and, you know, they've been there for years. And but then it's like they've been there for so long that now it's because of, you know, they've chosen to stay in their comfort zones, but they're not aware of what their strengths or skills are because they don't find themselves happy at that current place of work. So a lot of women struggle, and I'm pretty sure this is for people, but I'm speaking for our clients that, you know, I always see that, you know, I'm not even sure if this is what I want to do, you know, and this is where I advise people to make career blueprints. I'm actually working on an e-course and I'm going to have that there. And it's, you have to self-reflect, you know. Being a successful professional is not just about obtaining a job with great pay, you know. Being a successful professional is a matter of really honing your skills and really zooming into your strengths and excelling and doing something that you enjoy and becoming innovative and taking it places. What are you great at? Now, what are you good at? What are you great at? What are your skills? What are your strengths? Okay, and if you have a career in mind, what you need to do is do research on that career. Do some real research on that career and see if your skills and your strengths align with what falls into that career. If it doesn't, I would advise you to acquire more skills, right? That can be through an internship, maybe a part-time gig, go on LinkedIn, do some research, see what it takes to get there. If it seems something that's far out, you know, make the necessary adjustments, but be honest. Don't go applying to jobs that maybe don't really align with your end goals, which is very important because I feel like all of us have career end goals. And if it doesn't align with that, then why are you taking that route? And that's when you'll get to that point of unhappiness and you'll find yourself at a place of work for maybe you've been working there for 15 years and you're like, I'm not enjoying what I'm doing. So I'm saying this so that we can kind of save ourselves from suffering in the end. And it's never too late. Even if you're 50 years old, you can still make this change. And then another issue that I'm constantly seeing is that conflict in the workplace. I definitely had someone come to me. She's dealing with a case with HR right now, and this is a case of bullying in the workplace, which is what a lot of us experience. And this is, you know, what you and I were saying before, is you can tell if someone's either, you know, making a genuine remark or they're just being right out, you know, ignorant. And this is where you start documenting things, save them emails, and make yourself a solid case, okay? Not because of one statement. You just kind of pile them up. And when you're ready, you take it to HR because you shouldn't really tolerate disrespect in the workplace, okay? I know when I was younger, I was fearful and I was like, I might lose my job. No, there are labor laws in place. And this is where HR comes in and you make sure that it's handled right and you let that person know. Guys, I had a situation where I had a supervisor who spoke, she was inappropriate during a board meeting. And this is what happens when you know your worth. Now, and we also had, you know, the head of general counsel was there with us. And so I was just like, okay, I'll wait. You know, she said something to me where she was like, oh, we should be doing this. She was really aggressive in her tone. And I could have barked back at that moment. But I just refused to let her get me to that point while we were having the meeting. So I waited until the teleconference was over and I looked at her face to face and I told her, I would appreciate if you never speak to me in that tone ever again. Mm-hmm. I do not talk to you that way. I never say things like that to you. And I would appreciate if you give me that exact same respect. I said it in the most calmest, civil, respectful manner. Guys, I mean, listen, don't let anyone shake your peace, okay? And she looked at me and she said, I'm so sorry. And I said, no, it's okay. Because you're not going to rattle me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to rattle me. But what I'm going to do, see, delivery matters. You don't have to shout. This is not just in the workplace in general. I don't have to shout to get my point across. I'm going to let you know that I'm actually much more professional than you are. But I'm going to let you know that you're not going to disrespect me ever again. So this is just an example of saying that don't let them try it twice. Don't.
I love that.
I don't care who. Notice I said supervisor. I didn't say colleague.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them try it twice. You are an adult and so are they. You are no one's babysitter. You guys both work in the same establishment and you deserve that same amount of respect. So I just want to put that out there. And another one would be another trend is a lot of women ask me how to network effectively. And I've been speaking about that a lot lately. And it's, you know, because you have women who kind of cling to themselves. You have women who don't want to give nobody a hookup because they don't know you. And you know, so this is what's going on within this Black Girl Magic community. But ladies, you know what? Don't make any assumptions. I know you see a lot of women being clingy, but have you really taken the initiative to step out there? And not out there saying, hey, can you help me with this? No. At the end of the day, it's all a business transaction. Okay? What can you do for that person before you ask them what can they do for you?
Wow.
So a lot of, you know, because I think a lot of the women who aren't getting the responses that they want are so eager to get some kind of answer, help, and it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you approach someone respectfully, don't harass them, sending DMs, emails, doing the most, posting in the comments, questions and remarks. No, you either send an email, right? And then you state your case. And don't focus on blowing smoke up people's asses. They know what they're good at. What is it that you want? Be very direct. Take the initiative to ask. And asking, you shall receive. But make sure that you have something to offer as well.
And for those listening, if you are struggling with how to network effectively and it's because you find yourself being introverted, I want you to go back and listen to episode 16 where we discuss no new friends and how to effectively network as an introvert with Jadeena.
That's really good.
There's one thing I wanted to point out when you were talking about knowing your skill set. I don't want you, just because you're unhappy at your current position, to jump into a position that you aren't sure of.
We right.
talk about, you know, faith and tapping into our faith and our intuition, because you will jump ship to get another ship that yep. is still going to sink.
Same problems, right?
So I hear women all the time, you know, I'm not getting paid what I yep. deserve. I'm not getting treated the way I need to be treated. I'm overworked and undervalued. I'm just going to leave and I'll just take anything
because no.
it's better than where I am.
No.
I couldn't be further from the truth.
No.
So I just want you all to take a beat, figure out what your skills are.
Right.
Make some things that you can do in the meantime to beef up those skills, like you said, an internship.
Absolutely.
A side opportunity. Absolutely. Maybe this is your chance to start something of your own. If a job is really stressing you out, you may overlook some red flags in another position elsewhere.
Absolutely. So, this yeah. is something you hit it on the nail. This is even in Nigeria, I had to shake up a few women and let them know it's all about perspective, you know. And when one of the women told me about her current position and how she's really trying to get out there, and I said, listen, before you go, tell me about this position. She told me about her position, and what I was able to do was pull out some of the perks and benefits that aligned with her skills. So maybe not the position itself and her colleagues who are quite annoying, but there was some task and some, I guess, some resources, there you go, within her company that she could tap into and use for her own advantage.
Yeah.
And that's the mistake a lot of people. So even from a, you know, I'm Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike had a whole sermon on this, and how, just really saying how little do you know, you could be at that place of work for a reason.
Yes.
Much bigger than you. Yes. You know, you could be, I know for me personally, it's been moments where I have colleagues who are just like, thank God you work here. Because you're having an impact on these individuals' lives. Yes. I've had supervisors who are crazy, and they were grateful to have me because I know how to deal with their craziness. Okay? Yeah. And also, you know, jobs pay for things. You know, what, tuition reimbursement, hello, get the certificates. Okay, get that new laptop. You know, join those courses, get that license, things like that. Go to that workshop. Yeah. Rack up on those skills. So it's all about perspective, because like Natalie said, if you jump ship, it's not going to get any better. If you're ever going to jump ship, it should be greater. And that is the only exception.
Absolutely. So I'd like to jump in on getting your best advice on some pressing topics. The first category is going to be landing the job.
Okay.
Best advice. Are there certain times that are better than others to job hunt?
Absolutely. So November and December are definitely good months to apply. Starting from November, because the new fiscal year is coming up, depending on the company, or just a new budget is being developed. And you know, when January comes around, some people are like, bye-bye, after Christmas, they're going elsewhere. So companies are probably creating budgets to accompany a new, you know, a new hire. Mm-hmm. And so be mindful of that. And what usually happens is when you apply in November, I've had clients who did this too. You apply in November or December, you may get an interview in January, you may get hired in February, March. That's how it works, okay? March is also another good month to apply, and it is mainly for, I would say, higher in like June, right? For summertime, you know? Yeah, like June, being realistic. So March is definitely a good time. I would say May and June are good for the fall. So if you apply in May and June, expect to get that position in like August, September. Mm-hmm. So those are the months. So it's November, December, March, and May and June.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah. Also, time of the days. If you could crank out a few resumes in the morning, like before 10, do it. Do it so that your resume can be at the very top.
Got it. Now, speaking of resumes,
yes.
Now, back in ancient times when you and I were applying for jobs, what made a resume stand out might have been the weight or thickness of the paper, the color of the paper. In today's age, you know, everything is done electronically. What right. makes the resume stand out?
So a lot of people have this misconception that it, you know, it needs to be colorful and all that stuff. Listen, it depends on the industry that you're applying to. But honestly, at the end of the day, recruiters have an average of 6 seconds to look at your, and I've spoken to recruiters, some even less, okay, to look at your resume. Is that career summary solid or not? It's really that simple, because no one has time. Your career summary is like your thesis statement. You know when you're writing a paper, thesis statement, and you know what the body's going to say? That career summary is number one, and format is number two. No one wants to squint, try to find, read the lines, try to see the fonts looking. No, No. So I would say career summary number one, because career summary will allow the recruiter to determine whether this person is the right fit or has the skills or the expertise that we're seeking right off the bat. And then format, because it'll allow, you know, number one, it'll show that you're professional, that you're mindful of the fact that they're professionals looking at this document as well. And it's easy to read. After you've nailed those two things, they will look at the rest of your document. And don't hit them with four pages, y'all. If you are not a professor who's been in the game for 70 years, there's no reason why you should have four. Two pages should do it. Okay, if you know that you are a professional level, okay, and if you are entry level, squeeze it on one page. There's no reason why. And the reason why people have such long pages is because they don't know how to simplify, no, actually highlight their achievements. It's kind of like when you don't know how to write a one-page paper because you just go on and on and on. So those are the things that people look for, that recruiters or employers look for in resumes.
Love that. Next thing. How should a woman best handle applying for a job in a different city or state?
So now that, you know, times have changed, people aren't mailing things to your home anymore. What you can do is in the place of the address, you can put relocating to that city. You can put it in parentheses. Like, so if you're moving to Washington, D.C., say relocating to Washington, D.C., or if you're moving to the East Coast and you don't know, you're just going to go with whoever takes you on the East Coast, you can say relocating to the East Coast, you know, depending on where you are, just to make things really easy for that person.
Okay.
But some people still apply with the addresses. Listen, the address doesn't deter people. It doesn't make you or break you. If you are sharp as a whistle and they see that you are the right fit, they're gonna still call you.
Great. How can career changers pitch their transferable skills? I've been 10 years removed from college and grad school. I've been working in this industry. I don't love it anymore. I want to switch, or I see an opportunity where I can grow. I want to move. What are your tips for how to pitch transferable skills?
First of all, make sure that that new career connects with your interests and skills. A lot of people, you know, sometimes they make these decisions based off of emotion. I'm not feeling this no more. I know I'm good at this. No, I need you to sit down and really look at your skills and your interests and determine whether this new career connects with it. Does it align with it? Does it strongly align with it? Okay. And like I said in the beginning, if you don't have these new skills, as we discussed, internship, things of that nature. And I say internship, part-time job, all those things, connecting with people on LinkedIn that are in that specific career, seeking advice from those individuals as well. I did that when I was in grad school. I joined so many groups on LinkedIn and I got advice from people who were in my field of interest. And do that, because when you get this internship, all these new skills, it'll help you make your resume more robust. Okay, so that it appeals to an employer in that industry.
Mm. Got the resume. It's in great shape. It caught the attention of the recruiter. They've called us in for our interview. What are some things women don't consider when preparing for an interview that they should?
Well, everyone knows the prep for this, prep for that. So, honestly, wear a suit. Only a suit. and then ask really, really good questions. This is what happens when you do your research on the employer. Okay, if you know the name of the person, they find that quite impressive. Ask a lot of good questions. Questions kind of just showing that you've done your research. Okay, this is your time to shine. There's no holding back. There's no being modest. And then having a personal mission statement, which is, it's like your elevator pitch, because that about me, you know, tell me about yourself. That is a very important question. It's an opportunity for you to showcase your presentation skills. Okay. It shows you know how to kind of keep it down in 2 minutes. You don't ramble for 15 minutes about yourself. It shows that you are aware of your strengths and your skills. Really focus on that. I realize a lot of people don't have a personal mission statement. It's kind of like a professional mission statement. It's kind of like, but it's something that's so good when you have like a business, because it allows you to really zoom in on what your platform is about or your business is about. And lastly, where's your professional portfolio? Don't just talk about it. Show them what you're made of. It showed the employer what I was capable of creating, how organized I was. And it expedited the process because, listen, you're seeing some of the things I did. All these exquisite projects that you've created, the figures are there, okay? Your references are in there. These are the kinds of items that will help you stand out from the rest of the crowd.
Yeah. A professional portfolio is so important, but also if you can find a way, and you may have to redact some of the information, but if you can find a way to leave them with something,
right,
that is awesome, because they're going to be interviewing so many people. But if they have something they can look at, whether it's right, a 2-page condensed version of some of the things that you've done that you can attach right to your resume, that will help jog their memory when it's time to make a decision. And one other thing I want to mention, of course, people are going to ask you for references. You always want to have those.
Yes. Right.
Another great thing to do, because a lot of people don't have, you know, their boss, their manager, their supervisor, they don't list them as a reference, and that's understandable. But I hope that you are keeping what I call a kudos folder. Mm-hmm. Every time you get praise in the workplace for your work or for your presentation skills, whatever the case may be, file those emails away into a kudos folder.
Absolutely.
And then what you can do as a part of the professional portfolio, you can take out those quotes and put them in.
Absolutely.
And that's a great way to show, this is what, you know, my direct report thinks of me and my work.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yep.
A few more questions in terms of landing the job. When is the best time to discuss salary and benefit requirements, and how do you even broach the conversation?
This is a good one. Look at the bigger picture first. Okay, make sure, you know, what are the benefits, right? When we think of benefits, a lot of people are thinking health insurance-wise. How about, you know, telecommuting? Mm-hmm. You know, are there commuter benefits, like paying for your transportation? Is there free food? You have places like Google and LinkedIn where they just paying for their lunch and their breakfast. Things like that, okay? And look at the salary as well. Also, Google how much, what your salary will be when that tax kicks in, when taxes kick in, so you can get a real number, right? But you should wait until they discuss money with you. So don't go into that interview and ask about the salary. Don't do it. Don't do it, because you don't want it to seem like money is your only motive, even though that may be the actual case for many of us, okay? But you don't, listen, you got to fake it till you make it sometimes. And you don't want that. You don't want it to seem that way. Now, when they bring up, sometimes some employers bring it up during that interview, and they're just like, how do you feel about the salary? And this is honestly, before you open your mouth, if you know that this may happen to you, I need you to do your research on your number. Make sure you do your research on your number and you have a solid case as to why you're an asset, as to why your services can significantly contribute to, you know, that place of work. And just justify why you deserve that number. So maybe that's something you may need to do before an interview so that you can come prepared. You never want to open your mouth and say, well, I think I deserve this because, and you just start rambling. No, that was your one shot. So definitely do your homework on the numbers. Definitely prepare a solid case. Really reflect on your skills, your strengths, the breakthroughs you've had professionally, and why you deserve that number, so that if they ask you during the interview, you can hit them with it. And this is something you can keep in your professional portfolio, y'all, if this is the case, okay? Yep. And that professional portfolio can also help with those numbers, okay? When you get that offer letter and you see a number you don't like, just politely really draft up a nice email to the HR or whoever it is that sends it to you. Usually it's HR that sends it to you. And ask them if they would be, you know, politely, if they would be open to discuss the salary. I just want everyone to keep in mind, because this has happened to some people I know, is you may lose that offer, but not all the time. I've had breakthroughs, but be willing to, you know, there's a risk that you're taking where employers pull that offer off the table because they know there's someone that's willing to take less. Okay. And when that happens, honestly, I say that that job wasn't for you.
I would agree.
We just discussed that if you're going to another position, it needs to be greater. And if these people didn't see your value and you know that this is your worth, then this is not the place you're supposed to be in. So don't take that as an L. Take that as, okay, God, you're making no way. This wasn't for me. Move it out the way. Next.
Thank you. Next. Now, are there any do's and don'ts for following up post the interview?
Do's. Let's talk about do's. Send a thank you email, y'all. I think a lot, but it's what is your thank you email looking like? That's the question. It's not thank you for this opportunity. You know, make sure you thank them for the opportunity, but also this is why it's good to have a notepad and a pen during the interview, because you can take notes. You can take notes maybe when the employer is sharing some insights that you find exciting. Take that down on some interesting things, because you can highlight that in the thank you email. Okay, so that kind of shows that you were listening, and you can use that to kind of remind them why you're a great fit. Okay, do it the same day, y'all. The same day. Okay, preferably I would say do it before 5 p.m. You know, some cases, some people may let you slide, but just do it. Get it out of the way, because writing a thank you email when you're very serious and you know you want this position can be intense, okay? And also, another do is connect on LinkedIn. Connect on another platform. You're not stalking them. This is, you know, we're professionals. I said LinkedIn. I didn't say Instagram, Facebook. I said LinkedIn. Leave it at that, okay? Follow up. I actually had a client who was like, should I follow up? Yes, you should follow up. How did you? I was like, girl, how long did you prepare for this interview? Are you going to talk about, I'm not sure. I don't want to seem aggressive. How about they took up your time as well? It's not just about the employer, ladies. It's also about you. And yes, you prepared your behind off for that day. And so you deserve the right to, you have the right to know whether you landed that opportunity or not. 2 weeks, ask them, hi, I just want to know the status. But that's why during the interview, ask them, you know, what happens after this interview so that you can have an idea as to, you know, what you should look forward to after you leave them. Do not stop looking for a job, okay? That offer letter was not emailed to you. So you did not get the job. I don't care how good you felt. Mm-hmm. You did not get the offer letter. Keep looking. Give yourself some breathing time. Acknowledge that you did a great job. Give yourself a pat on the back, but keep looking for a job, okay? And do not lose touch with employers. That's how I was able to get hired by the employer that initially rejected me, because you may meet some great people at a great company, and just because they didn't hire you doesn't mean they can't do things for you, or there may be no open positions in the future. Connect with them on LinkedIn. And if you really like that person, shoot them a Merry Christmas, a Happy Thanksgiving email. Keep in touch with people, because you don't know what that person may do for you in the future if you ask them, you know? And don't be impatient. The hiring process is tedious. You're not the only applicant they're looking at.
Yeah.
There are other applicants, and it depends on the you know, for the institution that you're being hired in. I know I've worked in hospitals. It takes like 3 months to get hired in a hospital. Don't be so hard on yourself because you're not getting these opportunities. Remember, every door closed at, you know, during your time of seeking employment is probably a good thing, okay? Because it's not for you. And it's all about perspective. So really change your mindset and make sure you get that position that's great, or that position that's going to take you to greater places.
Lastly, she nailed the first interview. She's got more.
Right.
Did she prepare differently if she's going back to meet more people? They already know she's great. They already know she's qualified. How does she step it up a notch in preparation for additional rounds of interviews?
So usually when you have those next rounds of interviews, it's usually for individuals to assess whether you're someone they'd want to work with or whether you're a great fit, right? But since you prepared so hard originally for that first interview. If you have any more mental space, what I would do now is like get some details in there, right? Get some additional details in there, you know more about their company. Don't beat yourself up. But also, if you know who the professional is that is interviewing you, do research on them too. A lot of research, because you want to impress these individuals. They just want to know, can we work with this person? Mm-hmm. At that point. And so that's what I would advise people to do. Really brush up on your responses. Have good questions that are really specific to that person. Because you've passed the initial screening test, which is like, okay, you got what it takes. Now, are you weird? That kind of thing.
Got it. Rita, these were such great tips. We're going to have to come back with a part two on securing the bag. So once you've gotten the offer, what to do in the workplace. But I think that this has been absolutely amazing. What I want you to do is share with people that are listening how they can find you online, how they can sign up for your workshops, which you have coming up next.
Right.
And specifically, I know this is going to come up, but we'll never have enough time to cover this. If you have something on the art of negotiation, I also want you to share that with our listeners.
Oh, so I actually don't. And so now I'm seeing that I need, because a lot of people have been asking me that question. So I'm definitely going to have to create maybe something, a PDF on the art of negotiating a salary, a step-by-step. And this requires a lot of confidence. So I'll kind of implement that in there as well. And as far as how you can find us, Instagram is honestly where we got our start. And honestly, right now, there's a lot of fun going on that page. So follow us at Corporate Black Girl 101. That's number one. So follow us. Tell your friends. Even if you don't want to book a session just yet, we give plenty of tips on that page that are actually practical. Also, go to corporateblackgirl101.com if you want to see some of our testimonials, some of the workshops we've had. If you want to book a session, you can go on there as well. We have our resume writing services, our ACE interview services. We have the ACE interview service where we just kind of help you. And then we have the ACE interview role-playing premium service where we do the whole thing with you and give you a whole guideline and template and work with you to craft your responses. And then lastly, I have a workshop coming up, a professional portfolio workshop, basically helping you build the professional portfolio that will get you hired. And so what's special about this is that I'm actually going to create those customized professional portfolios for you, so you don't have to do that extra work, but you'll have to bring your documents and I'll tell you how to walk through it during a job interview. That workshop is being held in New York City. That's it, pretty much.
And I will place all of those links and social media handles in the show notes. Rita, thank you so, so much for getting us started on how to land the job. And
thank you. We'll come
back with how to secure the bag.
I appreciate you for having me and for seeing me for my worth and our platform and how it's doing so amazing. And guys, you can see our team on the website as well. Okay. So thank you so much, Natalie.
Ladies, it is my hope that you were informed and inspired by that last conversation. And until we speak again, feel free to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at For Every Wine. That's foreverywhine. And if you're ready to join us by starting or joining a local branch of Wine and Cheese, where you are welcomed in a safe space with like-minded women to whine about the stress of your life, yet cheese or smile about your blessings, feel free to visit our website, foreverywhine.org. Click on the Join Us tab and we can get you started within a local branch. Until next time, remember, for every wine, there is a cheese.